Blog Talk Radio.
The views, opinions, and statements made by callers are not necessarily the beliefs of the Professional Association of City Employees, PACE, the National Association of Government Employees, its officials, agents, or employees, the union. This show is for the purpose of airing opinions, concerns, and general commentary among PACE union members. The views expressed are solely those of the caller and do not automatically represent the policies, position, or view of the union and may not be construed as legal advice.
Well, top of the day to everybody. This is a Tuesday, I think it is. Yeah, Tuesday, midday noon. What's going on with everybody out there in Radio Land? This is Radio Connections with PACE. I am Gina Pagnotta Murphy, president of PACE. And I have with me today, as always,
Ebony Walton, Vice President of PACE.
Okay. How you doing today, Miss Ebony?
I am doing fine. How are you today, Gina?
Well, just watching you trying to figure out some last-minute tune-ups. I have no idea. it is what it is. That's, you know, we always here every Tuesday working with everybody. And we got a lot to go on, a lot to talk about. So let's get down to the business once you get everything situated. We want to give shout-outs, first of all, to some sad little news that we have some losses of some of our members, family members. Brenda Ross Byram, the loss of her fiance. Let's see. You put down here, Put Your Records On by Kareem Bailey. I didn't remember her, but after you played it for me, I do remember her.
She's a good singer.
I remember that song.
She's a young lady. She's a really good singer. Okay. So,
are you straight now?
I'm straight. It's so hot.
What's wrong with you?
It's just hot. I've been running all day. That's all. I've been running all day, Gina. That's all. So hopefully the blog talk is working. Gina wanted me to put something on my phone. I know how this thing works, but I'm listening to Gina.
Yeah.
It was all over the place. So I'm sorry, but I'm here now. It's better.
Well, we don't have a paid staff and can't get donations to get a paid staff. We have to do all of this on our own. So
there you go.
But we're bringing it to you the best that we can, and hope that you can hear us, the ones that calling in, and hope that you can see us, the one that has YouTube capability.
Yes.
And either or, we'll do the best that we can to communicate, talk with you either by phone and yeah, but you're getting something together hopefully within the next 2 weeks.
I am.
So we tried it out last night, but we're not going to do it today.
Yeah.
But it looked pretty good where you could call in on this new stream. And we can actually bring you in and see you and talk to you when you have questions and everybody can hear and talk and all of that. So we're looking forward to having that done. And I hope that that works out. Or we can just go ahead and ask somebody to donate their electronically time that knows how to help us out.
Yeah.
You know.
And I put a question in there to make sure y'all can hear us on here.
Yeah. To make sure that we'll be able to see and hear. And anybody want to call in or chat in, you know, everybody will know.
And then also you can subscribe to what's on your YouTube. Just go ahead and subscribe. So once we're on every Tuesday or any other time, if we come on a different time or something special happens, it'll alert your phone that we are on at whatever time we're on. So go ahead and subscribe. And I think it makes it look good, too, when you have more subscribers.
Yeah, one more subscriber, we might get some little extra help.
Yeah.
And is there a little bell that you can ding? What's that about, that dinging of the bell? You know, it says click on the bell or ding, or is that when you subscribe?
I don't know. I don't know.
By the VP here, to just be here at before 1
That's
o'clock.
That's it. That's
and
it.
And just do your thing. With me. That's all I was told.
But she tries to ask more questions. Well, why we can't do this with the computer? Why Blog Talk can't go inside with YouTube? It's two different platforms. Gene, I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
So. And so that's what in the workforce you're supposed to ask if you don't know, right?
You're right.
Well, what's our inspiration for before we get to the inspiration, what's the movie of the week?
The movie of the week is Those That Want Me Dead with Angelina Jolie. I hadn't seen the whole thing, but I saw the beginning part, and then I got busy. I had to run out.
It looks like it's gonna be a scary picture.
No, like it's gonna be a lot of blood and killing and pow pow. I know you're not talking to you. You're talking about Mortal Kombat. That was really nasty.
I did not expect that. I did not expect all of that goriness in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
But I could only imagine back in the day. See, this is the new 2021
yeah.
version. So I couldn't, you know, I didn't know what was going
what
on.
What happened there?
So anyway, just stand by. We having a little technical difficulty.
I think it's trying to connect with that other thing.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, let's see what happens. Hold on.
Let's see. Give us a minute. I had hooked it, this up. I don't know what that is. But it's still going, so I don't like that. I'm going to come out of here. It says an excellent. I'm coming out.
I'll come out and go back in.
Just bear with us 1 second. I think it was still on the, I don't know. It would do it this time, too.
Well, do we have to send you to electronic class?
Probably so.
You always try to.
Change that up, yeah.
Okay, so.
Just keep going.
Because
the blog talk is going.
We're on the blog talk. That's why we have two. Well, in case some things happen on YouTube where you can't see us, you can hear us. So if you can hear us.
Nobody's on the
YouTube. Yeah, so we're going to continue to move on as you try to figure out what's going on with YouTube. But anyway, so the movie of the week, we're talking about Those Who Wish Me Dead by Angelina Jolie. And I want to see it. Don't know what it's about, but let's try. Let's see what's going on. You all just stand by.
Yeah, that's what I just typed in there to stand by. Because I think it's pulling from the other. One second. Nobody's on the block off, so nobody's on anywhere. StreamYard.
Did the YouTube go down? Are you home?
Oh, okay. He can hear us.
You can hear me? But you could hear us. So we're going to continue because we're just having some difficulty with the YouTube coming up. Okay, thanks. All right, so we can be heard, but right now, something's going on with the YouTube where we can't be seen.
Yeah.
So we'll continue on. So we talked about Those Who Wish Me Dead by Angelina Jolie. So we'll go ahead from there. And so we'll have a little gossip. And a little gossip talk is we did a presentation at City Council last week. And that presentation was wonderful. I got some feedback from a lot of members that emailed because I sent it all out to them. To let them know what we were talking about, what we were asking for. And we did get some questions and response.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. Keep going.
And so I am. And so at that point, that was wonderful to hear, especially to let us know that members are listening, members are chiming in, and they did give us some resolve. And I have a meeting with the DHR commissioner. I think it's later on this week. You and I are supposed to be there meeting with Commissioner Norman to talk about some of the stuff. The council asked him to ask him some questions that he didn't answer real fully, so I guess he wants to meet with us to get some detail. And one of those details we were talking about, a teleworker's getting some kind of compensation for working from home. Maybe not a bonus money, but even some time, because you know when they take off, they use their time,
uh-huh.
their sick time and their vacation, their personal, but they don't accrue like you do when you're people that physically come into work and they get their this FFRCA. We talked about that before, their comp time and stuff. And so I was thinking it was not quite fair, especially when the employees that don't have to come in are not essential workers, that their time is building because they never have to take it. But the teleworkers that have to still work, and I think they should be considered essential, maybe not critically essential, but essential, and something should be given and divvied up to them because when they have to want to take a week off to go on vacation, they have to use their time. So that was one of the issues. The other issue that I asked council to consider is cost of living increases. I know we all gone through all of this financial because of the pandemic and everything, but they really, everything has gone up because of the pandemic. Hotels, eateries, I mean, people are price gouging, if you ask me. So we need to look at doing some type of cost of living. We also asked about babysitting, assist, some way to assist for members that have babysitters, because when we come back into work, some of the issues I'm hearing that some of the daycare centers have closed down. And like one lady was telling me, she got to hire a nanny because she can't take off her job when a child's getting sick or anything like that. So we asked City Hall to come up with or work with us to see if we can get some type of daycare assistance from everybody, you know, for people that need it or discount really for that. Also, we got a call from Mr. Chris Brown, who is the chair of the APAB public safety meeting. He has this with the citizens. That's coming up on the 27th. And he asked us to be a part of that. He wants us to chime in so they can understand from our point of view, from the union's point of view and perspective, how the 911 call center or employees, period, works within the city of Atlanta, what we do, and how we can work together with them in getting things accomplished. And, of course, we got the mayor elections. I don't know. We talked about Andre Dickens last week that's come in. And I'm hoping and praying that we don't need 15 and 20 people coming in like they did the last time, because that was just too many, in my opinion, trying to run for office. You pretty much know or should know, unless it's some political thing that you're doing, that if you got 10 or 12 people already in the race and you want to come in and try to throw your hand in the pot, do you really think you're going to have a chance of winning, or are you trying to divide the votes? So, you know, folks out there, I'm just saying, this is not a political-based podcast, but I'm just saying, you know, really think about it. And if you're not feeling that you're going to be the one to win, just kind of stay back and support the other ones that might have a good chance of doing so. So outside of that, we have our inspiration for the day. And that radio inspiration we have is called, "People have been coming to the wise man, complaining about the same problems every time. One day he told them a joke and everyone roared in laughter. After a couple of minutes, he told them the same joke and only a few of them smiled. When he told the same joke for the third time, no one laughed anymore. You can't laugh at the same joke over and over. So why are you always crying about the same problem? Worrying won't solve your problems. It'll just waste your time and energy." Wow. Did that make sense?
Did it make it to you?
No, not really.
Worrying won't solve your problems? Or
worrying brings on more problems because you're worrying.
So then it makes sense. It don't solve your problems.
But that might make sense to you, but it didn't make sense to me when I first read it, so I might have to read it again. But I won't read it again now. But it says you can't laugh at the same joke over and over. So why are you always crying about the same problem? Okay, so let me say this to you then. Let me get a little personal, Miss BP. So when I call you crying about the same problem, does that bother you? Are you So now I'm wondering why you tell me, well, Jeannie, you can't worry about the same thing. It's the same problem.
I don't
problem.
Say that.
So is that directed to me?
No, it is not directed to you. It was an old man said, what did he say? Let's read it. Let me read it.
Okay, you read it. Okay.
"People have been coming to this wise man, complaining about the same problem every time. One day, he told them a joke.
Okay.
Everybody roared and laughed.
Okay.
Right? After a couple of minutes, he told the same joke.
Okay.
Only a few people laughed.
Okay.
When he told the same joke for the third time, nobody laughed.
Okay.
All right? So what he's saying is, you can't laugh at the same joke over and over, so why are you crying about the same problem over and over? That's all.
Well, that makes sense when a joke is not funny anymore, but I could watch Martin and Cat Williams every day on the same thing, and it gets funny.
But if I say he told you a joke,
okay,
you're going to laugh if it's the first time you heard it, right?
Yeah.
The second time, you might snicker a little bit, but the third time, you're going to be like, come on now.
Okay.
Get another joke in.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
That's what this is saying.
Like
I didn't come up with it.
Like not jokes.
Yeah, you go.
You even know the not jokes and it's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
So if an employee has problems at their job and they're complaining about the same problem, but they're not looking to
that's
fix it. Well, it's the same thing. It's over and over. You get tired of hearing it.
No, that's the definition because it needs to be fixed. This is a problem, not a joke. Or
okay.
Or issue that if this is personal, like if this is business, you don't work in the business world. If I got an issue, if my manager and I are having a problem,
okay,
I tell my manager about it. Nothing happens.
Okay.
Then I go up to her manager.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Which it should, but nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Then I might have to take it up to their boss.
Okay.
Something needs to happen. Something needs to happen on each level, but if it's not, then that's the problem. That's the difference between this and that. You can't compare those two. That's not in the working world. This is just if I'm saying today I'm broke and I'm crying about being broke.
You need to get a job.
It's a solution for everybody.
File unemployment.
Okay. One or the other, right?
But you still solve
but I'm still
problems.
Yeah, I'm trying to solve. This is you're not solving anything. You're just going over the same situation, and not trying to solve it. There's no resolve for it. Nothing. You're just crying about it. Crying is not going to do anything. Faith without works is dead, right?
But didn't I just kind of say that?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought I just said that, but anyway.
You have the lag time in it?
But it's okay. I like the way you fixed it.
Oh, okay.
Kudos to you. Just don't pay attention to that because our listeners and viewers see what they're in real time.
Can anyone hear out here yet?
I think they can. Because remember, they can.
Uh-oh, I spelled that wrong. I'm sorry.
You can't. You're not a multitask person.
That's what I did. Really? I'm not a multitasker?
But you did fix it while I was talking.
Exactly.
So let's get into the meat of our source today. We were talking about professionalism, and I am expecting, we have some issues over at Watershed.
Okay.
That I got a phone call about today. The issue is that these departments, well, let's say Watershed, and I have a meeting with that commissioner, by the way, this week, too. And they're making, like, moving people from classified to unclassified positions.
Why?
That's my question. And it becomes a problem in two different areas for me. Because one of the areas, which is good for our union, because, you know, our majority of our members, what we are responsible for our classified people from grades 19 and above to grades 27, but we're so diverse that we have people below 18 in our union.
Okay.
And you remember the other union, they have 18 and below. So when you start moving a lot of folks from one classification, from classified below 18 to grade 19, that becomes our community of interest of employees.
Okay.
And so now, not on top of that, we can get those employees into our union,
mm-hmm.
and they will come if we were being stickler about, if that other union wants to be ugly and wants to try to chastise or go through what they used to do, but I don't think they should because the city is moving into a whole totally different direction now, and that's why I want to make sure that employees that want to join a union can join any union that they wish, regardless of their grade. Because the city is moving different locations. I mean, they're moving different classifications around.
Okay.
So not only that, then the second part I have a problem with, because now you're making these classified employees that's probably been classified for many, many years, moving in to be unclassified where they don't have civil service rights, so they can be fired at will. Now, granted, the city can fire anybody they want to fire at any time, okay? But yet, that employee, if they fire them wrongfully, they can sue the city, get the job back,
and
all that money back. So that's why HR and the city tries to lay out policies and procedures on progressive steps of discipline for classified employees. And I have also been working with labor relations, which is a good thing that is partnering with us for unclassified people before they lay their hammer down to them that they're making sure that this is a rightful termination. So to save the money. It's been working out pretty good. But I have a problem with that. One of the issues that the member was telling me about Watershed employee
that move from grade 18 up. They're making them supervisors, but yet they don't supervise anybody. So that's against labor law. How are you going to be a supervisor? Yeah, because you move that person to unclassified, they cannot at this point work for overtime. They can get comp time, but you're putting them in a classification as being a supervisor.
So let me ask you, with that being said, because we have, I mean, you, so you're saying you can't be a supervisor or a manager unless you have employees directly under you.
Absolutely. You can't be a manager unless you're managing someone. What you managing? You can't be a supervisor. What you supervise? Just leave it right there. And there's a lot of that going on, and they're making, they're moving that to those classifications for whatever reason that's not beneficial for the employee. Because that employee, first of all, is being moved, if they were in a type of union at below 18 and they were in that classification, then they move them to an unclassified position, which will, could, I didn't say will, but could affect their partnership with their union. Number two, they're no longer considered, they would not have civil service rights. And number three, they can't work overtime anymore. They only get comp hours. And number four, they're not supervising anybody, but yet you're carrying on the supervisor title, but you're doing the same, you're doing the same job that you was before. So that was some ugliness of reclassification there. And I saw the personnel paper. But you know what's different from what it used to be in the years? They didn't show you, which I'm going to go back and look at the whole book, they didn't show you what positions were being reclassified. It just showed you a total number of what was there.
What it was.
No.
What you think it is?
I drink the tea to that. And I think that's I think that's what they should do. I think it should, you know, but councils tend to not think, not this council, but the old council, they used to stop that because it was so long and out, you know, they go through each department, personnel paper, and they say the name. Well, not the name, but the actual title. Yeah. And but council back then was saying it's too much for them to go through. They didn't have, but I'm like, okay, you just got all these raises now, you know, where you should be wanting to go through each one to be transparent, because you got to approve this and you're trusting all of this into other hands, and all you're doing is seeing a snapshot. And then later on, you find out a lot of stuff when we come to the table with issues. Oh, wow.
They didn't know. I think with council, to me, I mean, it's political. And I'm not a politicky person, political person, whatever. But, and I don't really care for it too much because it's just too much red tape. But if the less they know, this is my deal, the less they know about certain situations, the less they know about the situation, the less they have to say, or it kind of leaves them out of it. Almost. Well, I didn't know that was going on. Whether or not it was brought to you where they said, hey, go down to this place or check this area out or whatnot, and you just didn't or what have you. But you haven't physically laid your eyes on it to say what the problem was. So you can't really say. You're just going on hearsay. So when citizens call and say, hey, this particular apartment is doing X, Y, and Z, well, we'll look into it. We'll check it out. We'll see about it. We're going to get some answers for you. But then when that department says, hey, why don't y'all come down here and see what it is we do, so when the citizens call you, you can actually have a conversation with them. But if they don't do that part, it kind of keeps them out of it a little bit.
And too, that because you this is their area, and if something goes wrong with that in that area, they're going to feel responsible or accountable.
But if you don't
know, you can't
be held accountable. Exactly, you can't.
I feel a little bit slighted here. Why? Because you seem to have more of the screen.
That's a different screen. Look at the other screen.
Is this another? Wait a minute. Y'all know what this means.
Well, let me move it over. I'm so sick of this one here.
Okay. All right. Do y'all see me a little better? There we go. Hi, everybody. I just didn't want the dark-skinned person taking up all of the, you know, I had to brighten up the room a little bit.
Oh, I'm so done with this.
But anyway.
So, yeah.
I love that.
You were sick, but
where were we at?
The hogwash.
Okay. Okay, now that I'm at it.
I thought we were going to have a person to
Well, we were talking about watershed, and then we're going to call in and talk in.
I'm going to see if we can do it if it works. Y'all
mm-hmm.
learning while we learning.
But listen, next couple of weeks, if not next week, a couple of weeks of next week, we're going to have it where we can, you know, people can see us, call in, and you can hear what they're saying, too. We're working on all of that.
Yeah, give us the next month. Yeah. She said next week.
Next
I work,
month.
Too. I got another job.
Yeah, well. We,
so I have to do it on my off day.
Well, anyway, this is for the members of the union anyway, so they understand.
Yeah.
And we're doing the best we can. And again, we're asking anybody out there in radio land and podcast land and YouTube land that's a member or anybody that's listening that's not a member, if you have any ideas to help us and got some time to volunteer your time to get us, you know, up in this streaming the way we're supposed to be streamed, please call us. We sure could use your help.
We sure can.
Yeah, absolutely. But Ebony, you've been doing good. Even though I'm laughing at you and everything, but you're doing a good job.
I try to.
You try to. You're learning. She's learning, y'all.
It's hard to try to keep up with this one right here.
Yeah. So let's talk about how did you feel when we were talking? Because we got, you know, some members. Matter of fact, we had a list of members that called in. Where emailed me and said, awesome personnel, I mean, awesome presentation.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying, what about retired sworn personnel being hired as civilians and it'll make a significant higher than the income? Okay, so we got two things. One said retired personnel sworn can come back and be like a civilian and help with the 911 center. But at the same time, they're retiring and hiring them back and making more money than the person that's doing the same job they're doing. Now, that's the problem. But that's not just the 911, everybody.
So that's the 911 that they're saying now?
Well, this is what they're saying about sworn.
Okay.
But that's not just the 911.
No.
That's all over the city.
It is.
Some people are retiring and able to come back to work as contractors for 2 to 3 years.
And making more money.
Making more money doing the same job. And making more money than they were making and making more money than another person, their colleague, doing the same job. That's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, we got to know. We need to know who they are. We need to know what department and who these people are so we can investigate it before we slam dunk the situation. Mm-hmm. Not trying to hurt the employee. It's not their fault.
No.
But we want to make it fair across the board if you can do that, because it would help 911 center.
It would. It would.
Especially if you have a retired
officer. If they want to do that. That's the only
thing. But you got your recapture program, remember? For the sworn officers.
Yeah, but if they want to do 911.
But it's an option.
Yeah, they need to make it as an option. They should make it as an option. I had an email. This one says, well-produced and timely. Totally forgot about the parking fee matter. Agreed to waive the E-911 to make E-911 first responders. Okay, reclassification.
Right.
So that was a good one. We got a lot of good responses from it.
Yeah.
A lot of good responses.
We are working on trying to get the fire civilians not to pay for parking when they come back to work. I never understood why they were made to pay $35. Look, the parking deck's still standing now. Ain't nobody really using it.
We pay for $35
Y'all do too.
The city pay the other half, but I think it's like a total of $60 but we only pay $35 a month.
I don't know why we didn't just build that and make it the city of Atlanta's parking deck.
That would make sense.
I just don't get it.
With
we
the
do everything else.
You have.
Yes.
And you
absolutely.
Have, you even have to have some employees come down to that P Street. I don't understand.
Not the park.
I don't know.
And so it doesn't make sense to me. We buy everything else. We buy other buildings. Why are we trying to do the gulch? The gulch. We trying to do that. So why could we not have bought and paid for a parking deck for the city? And then charge guests. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Charge the guests like you do the parking lot meters to pay the park. But not your own employees.
Not
that's crazy. And then this is really crazy. I have an automobile that's assigned to me by the city that I drive all the time when I come to work. It's parked in the parking deck already. But when I come in, I got to pay $35 to park there. And I'm going to park in the same parking lot that my car that I'm assigned to from the city is in. That's ridiculous. So why can't I just back my city car out and put my personal car in and be done with it? No. We got to pay $35. So now, pandemic hit. Nobody Harley's at work. 95% is not at City Hall. Yeah. And if they are, they're parking on the street. And then, so nobody's getting money from them then.
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking that $35, but the parking is still there. So when they come back, then they're going to start parking.
And
hey,
when the whole year went by, you didn't need the money.
You didn't need the money.
So what did you do?
And
what
I was,
are you
what,
doing with the money when you get it?
Well, exactly. That's a good point. What's going on? I think we asked that question 2 years ago.
What is it? If you could go a year without paying it.
Well, they stay in maintenance, but every time I used to go in there, it was dirty.
I do too.
It's dirty. And then it doesn't. So I was like, well, then if I got to pay the park, assign me a parking space.
And that's what they need to do for us too, because because we're in the heart of the city, everything goes on down there. They parking in our spaces, assign our spaces so we don't be late for work because we can't even get in the parking lot or we can't find somewhere to park.
Yeah, that's
or we have to go across the street to park. Last time we had to go across the road to park.
And I don't like that.
And we pay up for this one.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. So we need to stay on council with that. That's a council issue. Because I even talked with the fire chief regarding his non-sworn, and that's something that they told me it was above their head. So that sounds like an administration and city council issue. So we're going to stay with them.
Okay, so YouTube listeners, we haven't done this one in a while. We do have one listener on our blog talk. You guys won't hear him, but we will let you know if they're speaking. Hold on 1 second. Our blog talk, I'm going to chime you in if you want to speak. Go ahead and speak, please. It's going to tell you that you're unmuted.
Okay.
We got two. You're unmuted. Do you want to speak? Okay. And you are unmuted. Do you want to speak? Who am I speaking with?
Michael Pulliam.
I hear something.
Hold on. Let me cut it up.
Okay, YouTubers, you hold on.
I clicked the wrong thing. You want to, who am I speaking with?
Michael Pulliam.
Oh, hey, Mr. Pulliam. How you doing?
Hey, how are you all?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. What's going on with you today?
Well, I just wanted to touch base with you. A new issue came up, and I wanted to make sure that your members were aware. There is a department, and I won't say the name of the department, that they've offered their employees a raise, but they're going to lose their classification. And their raise is going to be around the area of a class 20. So they're going to lose their classification, which means they'll be no longer classified, so they won't have civil service protection. And the thing that concerns me about it is they're making them supervisors, which means they won't make overtime. They'll only make comp time. And they don't have any. They don't supervise anyone except themselves.
Right. And we just talked about that. We were talking about that. That's in the watershed department. And so exactly what you were saying is what we were saying about they're going to be moved from classified to an unclassified position. They will not be able to get overtime. They will be getting comp time. And on top of that, they're being placed as a supervisor, but have no one to supervise. And so we will be meeting with Commissioner Browning this week, and I am going to invite you on that call so that you can, with me, can get some heads and tails of that. So thank you for calling in and letting us know about that, because that is something concerning for us.
I'll be glad to meet with you. Just let me know when. And it's also against the law. They can't change your job title, make you a supervisor, take away your ability to receive overtime, and call you a supervisor when you're not. That's against federal law.
Okay, and I would definitely, after this podcast, we'll send you an invite with that. And you're right, it is against federal law of all the things that they're doing.
And we'll reach out to our union attorney to get some backup clarification. So by the time we meet with Commissioner Browning, we can let her know what's going on and our stance on that. So thank
Very
you for
good.
Calling in.
Always a pleasure to talk to the face of PACE.
All right, Mr. Pulliam, I'll talk to you shortly.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Take care.
Good. That was. I appreciate
so
him calling in.
Tell the listeners what he was saying. Again.
Well, what he was saying that it was against the law for you to be able to put somebody into a supervisor's position, move their classification, and they're not supervising anymore, taking away their rights like that. And, you know, it's just against labor law to do that. That's not a good labor law practice. So we will be talking with our city attorney. I'm sure they're going to get involved because our union attorney is going to reach out to them. But I first would like to give the opportunity to Commissioner Browning, when we meet with her this week, to address that issue. What was her, what was the rationale for that?
Okay.
And that, but that's happened before. And we told them then, but then they changed it and said there was a caveat saying that they could work for overtime versus comp. Don't know. We never got into that. Pandemic hit, so we couldn't challenge it, you know, a lot of stuff. But we will be working closely with Ms. Rita Cherry and Mike Pulliam, and who are our union council, regional council and regional rep, and get with the commissioner and see what we can do about it. So that's a good thing. Thank you for calling in, Mr. Pulliam, with that. And as well that we also remember, what's this about a protest? I just got an alert. Protest and civil disturbance with George Floyd's death scheduled, planned protest related to the anniversary of his death. So they're sending out to all of you out there tips where to go in case something gets out of hand, see something, say something. Where to do a fallout, tips for drivers, know your routes to avoid large crowds. The city just sent something out there. So they must be going to have a protest tonight or today. So if you all are listening, just remember, check your email or your cell phones to see, you know, so you'll be aware what the city just sent to you. So what were we talking about? We were back on, we talked about the watershed. We were talking about the parking debt where you don't pay the $35. And we talked about cost of living. I asked for the cost of living increase.
You did.
We asked for that. And the babysitting.
Retention.
Oh, yes, retention. Come up with not just for 911 and 311, but for everybody to have a retention bonus. If you've got critical essential workers and you've got essential workers, we need to come up with some kind of the retention to get them there.
Exactly.
We don't want to lose. Because I tell you, like I told counsel, I'm going to tell HR, because I guarantee you that I know they probably fixed it by now because they heard me mention it in my presentation.
What's that?
You know, that's what they do, right?
Yeah.
Take my ideas instead of acknowledging that PACE did this, and let's work with PACE. But it's all good. But I almost guarantee you they did not have a percentile looking at forecasting proactively when the city does reopen to stage four and bring everybody back.
Uh-huh.
How many people are going to come back? How many people do you think will lose that have probably got another job and decide that, you know what, I don't want to be in the city anymore. I'm just going to be gone. That's for the ones that's at home that's not essential or critical. How many is going to return? How many is going to retire?
Yeah, just two getting ready to lose.
And I've heard in public works we've lost quite a few. I got one in watershed that called me this morning. He's going out in December, and he's talking about wanting to take his time in August. I said, you can't do that. He's got so much abundance of time. He said, I want to take all of it, just leave in August.
Yeah.
But to think about it, even, you know, I understand they want to send out a survey about the vaccine, okay, if you took the vaccine or not, but send a survey out and say, are you planning on returning to work?
You think
are you planning on retiring?
They might not be honest.
Well, they might not be honest about the vaccine. So I'm just saying, just always like to be proactive. I'm looking at a business sense, you know, because we don't know where everybody's mindset is over a year and a half.
Because I figured we all be coming back in around September.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's why I think we might be. It might be a little early, but I'm giving it September 1 would be the cliche of bringing everybody back in. I know a lot of business, like our Union Nationals, opening up their office September 1. And so I'm looking at around that. So I'm just thinking, you know, by then, when somebody decide they don't want to come back in, somebody might have a fear, a phobia about coming back to work. And they may just decide to retire. You know, no sense of worrying about doing an early out because you've been out now about a year and a half. And that captures a lot of people that were right on the threshold to retire just to see, you know, how they are. But I'm just curious to know what the projectile would be.
Yeah, I don't know.
So the department can be ready, because if somebody's honest and say, well, I'm not going to come back, I may retire on this date, then they need to start cross-training people, you know, and seeing what your needs are. And that's how I look at it. But I put all of this stuff out on behalf of our membership and PACE. But the sad part about it, leaders, and I'm not going to say who they are.
Why did you look at me like that?
No, I'm just looking at you because I always like to take the monkey out of the room or the elephant out of the room. But sometimes I always kind of get laid back for a meeting. But you know who you are out there, who I'm talking to. Like to take our ideas and then go with it and say, that's a great idea, but never pull us to the table to discuss it. So then they get it all wrong.
Because it wasn't their idea.
So we know who, they don't know how to execute. You are 100% correct. And why do you think it's so hard for the leaders to bring the union to the table? PACE. I'm going to speak on PACE. To bring PACE to the table. Not a lot of them, but the important ones.
I think that it's giving more power to someone else. That's the thought process is what I'm thinking. And so it might be a little intimidating. Mm. Maybe. That's what I'm thinking. Because other than that, I don't know why you wouldn't. Because it's been proven that if you brought PACE to the table with the ideas that PACE has brought, it works a lot better. Just like with the previous Director Pritchett was there, for our now in Lexington, when Director Pritchett was, she had a face at the table every month.
Mm-hmm.
There was a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing seemed to have went by that wasn't a notice. Everything was, the issues were far in between.
Right.
So when you don't have them at the table, it's not like that the union PACE is working against anyone, but it's proper procedures, and the union's job is to make sure that they're followed and in order and in place and everything is fair. So just like now we have some issues and I'm not understanding why it's so hard. If you have rules in place, follow the rules. The rules apply to everybody, not because today is not a good day for me. So I don't want them to apply to you because I understand today is not a good day. Today might not be a good day for this person 5 days later. And then you don't give them the same empathy you gave this particular person. So rules are rules for a reason because it's across the board. It doesn't make sense that we don't follow the rules or when they are convenient to be followed.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense.
Well, you got leaders out there right now that's so hardcore, still trying to go by the rules. Sometimes they don't know how to think outside the box.
No.
And, you know, that's what really irks me. I come from the military background where it was so stringent. But guess what about that stringency? There were processes in place.
Mm-hmm.
It was clear cut, no gray areas. So you had no reason on neither side to be misconstrued or miscommunicated with. You know exactly what the rules are. Brings me back to the point about on my presentation about the sick leave policy. Come on now. All right, I still don't have a strict
policy. What is,
I don't know what they're talking about now. I got confused even trying to get clarity from what I understood it to be. All I know is the historical practice is that you have 3 days you can be out, historically practiced, and what I'm reading into the code, 3 days straight, consecutive days you can be out through sick.
Mm-hmm.
On the fourth day you come back to work, you don't have to have a doctor's note.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the historical practice from all the years I've been there, 20 years with the city.
And when I read it, remember I read it and I called you and I said, so you can actually be out 3 days and that fourth day you come to work and everything should be fine. You don't need a doctor's note. But that fifth day, if you're out 4 consecutive days,
yes,
that fifth day you come back, you can't come back unless you have a doctor.
Unless you have a doctor. No,
so that was obvious to me when I read it. Because it said what it said. I didn't take from it. I didn't add to it. But then when they threw the word may or shall.
That's after we asked the commissioner of HR.
That's when it came
up. And then he come up, but it says may.
So then that's contingent upon that person's personal feeling.
But then when I asked the question, I still ain't got the answer. Well, when does the may come in play? So now the way the code says, it says that the director or the manager may require you to bring in a doctor's note.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do I get to know when you ask me to bring in a doctor's note? So may means I could or I could. I don't have to. So that number one, that's inconsistent.
It leaves it open for unfair.
Unfairness. Exactly.
It really
so, and
I might
know.
Not, I like you. But I don't like this. So you can go out 3 days, and I'm going to forget to ask you about, you know, don't worry about it. You good. But this right here, because you do this often, I need my doctor.
You don't even have to do it often.
Without any documentation, but I want a doctor, so just because. And that's not fair.
And even you don't have to say that person does it often, because if that person is out often, there is a policy in place to put them on excessive absence.
That's why I said there is no documentation.
Right. But at that point, you give them of advance notice in a disciplinary
mm-hmm.
action
mm-hmm.
that they're going for a period of time. Anytime that you're out sick, call out sick, you got to bring in the doctor's note. Well, what we're talking about is that word may, that I think needs to be removed.
It needs to be, and it needs to be stated yes or no.
Because
yay or nay.
No, it just needs to
what
state.
It is. What,
if you're out 3 consecutive days, if you're out 3 consecutive, you can, no, it should say, if you're out 4 consecutive days.
Exactly, because 3 is throwing them out.
Right. When you return to work on that 4th day, right, you need to bring in the doctor's note on that 5th day.
On the 5th day. Yeah.
On that 5th day.
On the 5th day.
They need to take something out or just take that may out.
Mm-hmm.
That may require.
Or employees are allowed to take up to
3 consecutive sick days. Without having to bring
without
doctors.
Without an excuse.
That's where it should be.
That's how it should be. That way it's clear cut.
Yeah, it's clear cut. Drive it, that's it. Because a supervisor don't have to say because you've been out so much, they don't have to like you, period.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't like her, so I'm going to give her a hard
mm-hmm.
time.
Yep.
So my point goes back again. So if I call out on the 2nd day, I'm sick, and I call in, I'm sick. So when do I get, so at that point, my supervisor can tell me then, well, you need to bring in a doctor's note.
Or either they call you while you're at home on the days you're off and tell you to bring a doctor's note.
Right. Because now remember, I'm not out 3 consecutive days. And who wants to be chastised while you calling in sick?
It's my time. I got it.
And because of the pandemic now, you got some departments that allow you to text your supervisor or email your supervisor or versus call. So all of that needs
this
to
is
be.
What I do. If we call out sick and it's not your shift that you call out on, we have to tell the employees, okay, I'm going to take the information that you called out sick, but call back and speak to your supervisor.
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy.
So you can let them know.
That doesn't. That's
to make
ridiculous.
Sure the message gets printed. But when they call in, I send an email. But I say it because that's what you told us. That's what we have.
Okay, we got a good one here. Hold on.
What's the question?
I got a text that says, I wish to remain anonymous. To respond to your question about why PACE is not brought to the table. They don't want you at the table because they don't want to hear you can't do that or that is against labor law. They also don't want you at the table. Everything they are reporting to the mayor and the city council would be contradicted because they want to look productive to the council and the mayor. I would like to make a suggestion that the mayoral candidates have a town hall meeting with the city employees so the candidates are aware of what is really going on. Absolutely good suggestion.
It is.
Whoever this anonymous person that just texted me, thank you for that. And I will, we do have candidates that are reaching out to us. We have not, as a, for union support,
we have not, because we're trying to, the executive board on behalf of our membership is trying to decide if we're going to be politically engaged or not. We did not do that directly last year a little bit. We did some phone banking for some council people. We're looking at if this is something that we really want to do. However, the ones that have reached out already asking for us to either come on a podcast or have some meetings with us to see about supporting them, whether we endorse them or not, I will ask them to consider having a town hall and even have a mayoral town hall with employees. That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
It's been with citizens, not with employees. Have a platform and city council people.
Because, and they need to know what the employees have to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
You just got to know. You have to know. It's not acceptable anymore in this climate, in this time and day and age. It's not acceptable anymore to be able to, the citizens are calling you guys, the council members, and you can't give them an answer because you don't know the functions of the department that you are kind of making decisions for.
Absolutely.
You have to. Ms. Lachey says she appreciates the discussion and budget presentation conveying their concerns. That budget thing, that thing last week was so stressful, boy.
I want to commend all of our executive board officers that was available to assist me that night. We did we burned the midnight oil because we were supposed to went on the 27th, and then they called me on a Saturday, council solicitor did, and said, we moved you up to the 19th. So we had to scramble and put everything that we were time managed out. We had to scramble and put everything together
in one night
so we can send it in advance so it can be there. So I thank all of my executive board officers for being on that Zoom call from 6 o'clock to about 11. It was like 6 to 11. Oh, my gosh. And then I didn't go to sleep till about 3:30 because then I had to compile it to make sure it looked grammatically correct, cosmetically correct, no errors in it. And know what I need to talk about, how to put the platform together. And we finally, I shot it off about 4 o'clock in the morning. And then we had to be ready and up and roaring by the next day. So it was kind of stressful. But this is what I do, and you got a taste of it.
Mm-hmm.
Last year or the year before I kind of did that by myself. Mm-hmm. So it's very stressful.
I did the PowerPoint for
you.
That
did the PowerPoint.
Yeah. But, and then I did come up to that office. That's when you got me. That's when you got me.
Love it. And
that's when you got me. You had me up there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, back to back.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's a lot of work.
Lot of work.
Listen, you guys, we appreciate membership in our union. We couldn't be here. We're here for you. Never get it twisted. My face is the face of PACE. But we have an active executive board. We have active members. We have people that we are here representing you. This is a hard work. It's a hard job. It's a thankless job. But it's because to work this, you have to have the passion. You want to do it. You got to have the ability to speak before people. And you got to have the strength, vitality, enthusiasm, and spiritual being to deal with the evil spirit.
You have to deal with,
because you got a lot of people that will challenge you. To be, you know, to shut you down, to bully you,
yes,
to talk to you. But I've learned over the years, single you out, retaliate against
you,
blackball you. And you know, why do you think I'm not up in those high positions? You know, I'm not because I don't know how to do certain things. Why do you think my brain is coming up with what I see and hear outside that comes to me and I come up with these visions? I could be a great leader. I could run for mayor.
You could.
But I don't want to be in 15. I tell you what, if I was to be mayor, I tell you, I'd be like candidate mayor-elect. What do you call them? It's not mayor-elect. It's when they're running for office for mayor. Felicia Moore, what do you call her? Or Audrey Dixon, all of them. Whatever. Mayoral candidate.
Oh,
I can't even
talk like that. I'm trying to think of what you're saying.
Mayoral candidate. If I wasn't being, I tell you what, we have a better city as well. Not all the way, because I have to have one person can't run things.
You
got to have a team.
You have to have a team. And you need a team. And
if you have a city, you need a team of every department
that you can trust.
That you can trust.
That's going to lead.
Yes, that is going to lead.
Going to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Have humility and empathy.
Loyalty.
Yes. Not with lies.
No.
But
not try to cover up stuff. Just be open and honest. And if I don't know something's going on, I can't help you. If you keep padding this, they're making it appear to be everything is okay. I'm going to assume everything is okay until somebody comes from up under that rug and be like, hey, it's dirty under here.
Right.
You're not going to know.
Right.
You're not going to know. So that's what I mean.
And we need, and whoever becomes a mayor, please be cautious and careful of getting your team together, the ones that keep the ones that are good, and reassign the ones you think that are worth saving but may not be right there in that fit position, just like any other person. You may not be good in this position, but I like your skills and talents, so we're going to put you over here.
Yeah.
But don't keep running over, like you said, that inspiration over the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to get the same result. Because sometimes it's hard for people. It's very rare that people can make change and be okay with it. See,
yeah.
I can make
it
changes.
Is.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm good at making change. The military got you like it, makes you like that.
Yeah.
The problem I have is being resistant to change is when you're not explaining to me, I don't have a clear understanding of what it is that you need. What's your vision and mission?
Yep.
And so now you want to make this change. Well, I need to know.
And I'm a part of this change.
I'm part of
the
change.
But I don't know what the change is.
Right. I want to be productive in your change.
Exactly. If I know more, I can help you with this change.
No, some of them don't want to bring it to the table because they're being deceitful.
Now, I did get an email. I want to bring up some of this stuff. You got it. I sent it to you, too. These are some issues from, she's a fairly new employee.
Okay.
And has a list of issues already.
Okay.
Within the... So we'll go with breaks first. When will the two 30-minute break segments resume? It appears that the second break, if only 15 minutes, is not optimal for performance at any 10-hour plus shift. In addition, it is helpful when possible to receive the break sheet at the beginning of each 4-hour work period. Many times we are told to break without any advance printout. So this is a 10-hour employee, and they only get 15-minute break, the first 5 hours and the second 5 hours. Another employee, he's a fairly new employee, he sent the email the same thing, these two issues. He said, hey, we're 10-hour employees. I work day watch, but I only get a full 30-minute break, 15 minutes the first half, and that's usually beginning of the shift, right when we come in, and then I sit, and then I wait for my second break, which is only 15 minutes. And I work 10 hours. Then when evening watch come in, we probably have to sit an extra 30 minutes because they're short. Now I work almost 11 hours with 30-minute break.
Wow.
On the phone. That's the problem.
Okay, so I'm looking at the email that you sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kudos to these persons.
Yeah.
That says there's a lot of things which mean a lot to many of us.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently there's a couple of members
mm-hmm.
that are speaking on behalf of some other members.
Mm-hmm. She got two other ones on there with her.
Yeah. And so I'm going to take time and go through all of this. And we're going to talk to this about, you know, because she's got fire drills, rates. She's talking about health and well-being.
Now, we did just do the fire drill. Ben,
we
one of the board members came out.
Absolutely.
That.
Kudos to Ben Martin.
Thank you, Ben.
For coming out there with Ebony to the 911 call center.
Yeah, he is very informative.
The fire drill.
The safety and all of that. If something was happening, if we had an active shooter, he came in and he helped us with the exit. They're going to put signs up in the room. That's going to be our safe room. He did really well.
And then she says, monitors, anti-blue light screen protectors. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Plutronic boxes.
Those are the phone boxes. They're trash.
Well, we got to get into
that. The computer system that we have now is telling you the fun is so small. And they really can't.
So y'all system, whatever.
We have the new system, though, remember?
That new system, though, And then she asked for a conference station in the restrooms. Absolutely wonderful ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through this after the podcast.
And she didn't just come with problems. She sent in the monitors, and then she gave links to where you can
find them. See, that's what I'm talking about.
So she did her due diligence.
And because of that, remember, because of that information, I will put this on our agenda. We're going to discuss this next week on our podcast.
Yes.
In the meantime, I will be discussing this with Chief
Brian.
I don't know why I want to call him Baker.
I don't know why you
said
his name.
Baker or Buck.
But I'm glad you gave us the open door policy. So this stuff like this, we could just bring to his attention. She's mentioning little small stuff like painting. You know,
can be done like
yeah,
that.
We could. That's not an issue. They could do that easy. So they need some of that stuff. They need some of that stuff. I'm trying to think. Another member called me the other night. She left work. We were on this new system. And she's stressed out. She asked me for EAP number today, too, so I got to make sure I give her that number, the EAP assistant. But she was just overwhelmed with, and we did not get to touch on professionalism today. Thank you, Gina. But I'll take it because we had some technical difficulties previously due to Gina wanting to try new stuff before time. But anyway.
It's finally working, though, and it's time to go off the air.
Yeah, it's working now. But she was talking. Well, she was asking a question about the system, right? How to do something with a unit. I went over to assist, but I really couldn't be of assistance because I don't know what to do. I'm learning like they learning. But another supervisor came over, and that made her a little, it disturbed her a little because you could see she was getting flustered. And the supervisor said, stop, put that pen and stop writing that down and type that on the computer. Well, this young lady was not comfortable yet we're typing on the computer because she's not familiar with this system. So she was just like, she just put her hands in her head like this. Oh, my heart went to her. And so she called me later. She said that was just so, I said, I understand it. It was no empathy there. Like this was her second day on this new system. Give her some time. If she wants to write, let her write. What is that hurting anybody?
We need to look at your supervisors. Remember I said if they're not a good fit, they might
be
good.
I'm still learning how to be a good supervisor because sometimes I have to catch myself. I play my conversations out before I speak sometimes. So I can, it helps me to control myself.
Maybe we need to look at you.
But I'm just saying. I would definitely tell nobody that, you know, hey, don't do it this way. If this is what you're comfortable with, then I have to respect that. This is what you're comfortable with.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you because I'm good at something else that you need to come up to my level. No, everybody has their own different levels. We have something else.
What's being said? We got
Ms. Lachey says, we always get new systems, no training. Honey, if you ain't hit that on the head.
Frustrating to everyone.
The young lady put her hands in her head as if she was just, she wanted to just, you could see she was at her tipping point. I was like, oh my God, the system will make you throw it out of the window.
So we never did get to the bottom and of who ordered this system. Why did they order this system? Why there was not adequate training and there was not a transition.
It should have been a transition.
Into it. And that gets me. And, you know, I am just so overwhelmed with mayoral, the mayor, do they know? Do the COO, are they aware?
I don't think they know.
What's going on and stuff
that. You delegate first things out and you expect your staff, because you trust them and you got them in these positions, you expect them to do just like what Chief Brian came. He said, I had no idea this stuff was going on.
But then somebody's head should roll.
There you go.
Because apparently the person, if he's not having his table talk with his executive staff, and that he needs to be, and if he is, and they're not giving him information, somebody's hearing him.
Yeah, then it's not being communicated what is actually going on. And that's why we've always said over the past year, who's speaking on the behalf of who? Because if you're in a higher position and they're expecting certain things from you, they're wanting a good report. You know that, right? But if you don't have a good report to give them, you have to give them the truth.
Right.
You have to give them the truth instead of
nobody wants to get bad information.
Yeah. But that's what I'm thinking.
But that's one thing I liked about Erica Shields. Now, I didn't know her, don't care, you know, you're that. One thing about her, on the times that I heard her speak, guess what? She was telling the truth.
She was telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. And nobody wanted to hear the number. She told the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, how can you fix something if you don't tell the truth?
How can you get assistance if nobody knows you need help?
So hopefully, you know, we got a new council probably.
Yeah, we're getting a whole,
council almost.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to really get engaged with that. And we
getting a new mayor, because Mayor Bottoms is not rerunning, so we're getting
a new mayor.
So and then with that comes new leadership, maybe, maybe not.
And with everything, the climate, everybody's going to have to be patient with that new mayor. With every new administration, you're going to have patience, because they're coming in, especially now.
Right.
They're coming in on the tail end of a whole
pandemic and all kinds of stuff. And, you know. But we're going over, we have gone over a little bit normally because somebody.
Because Gina wanted to use a system that was not ready to be used.
And see, look, I didn't transition this in, did I?
No, you didn't. Practice what you preach.
See, that's a prime example.
That's a prime example.
But we did practice this last night. We just decided that we wasn't going to do it. And then somehow somebody didn't cut disengage both systems, and it kind of entwined while we were on. But she was able to fix it. But this is what we were saying. Practice what you preach. Transition when you're trying to do new things.
Yeah, don't
make sure
it
works and stuff. But we'd like to thank everybody for participating today.
Yes, we do.
And we hope to be this is your podcast. This is just not Gina and Ebony something we're doing just to be doing.
Yeah.
This is for you. This is something for you to call in and get out there in the open. Tell us, let us know what issues you having out here.
And
so
we're
that
not
we can
here
speak for you.
To bash any department, employees, management. We're not here to bash anything. We're just bringing light to situations that a lot of people are going through, that someone can say, hey, this is what I did to fix it, or this is how I overcame whatever the situation may be. But we're not here to bash anything. Nothing. This is all out of love, because we just want to be better. That's all.
And so we'll continue this every week. And we'll try every now and then to put something in there about professionalism, how to different courses, different things, and we'll take 15 minutes of that. But we don't want to lose the continuity of you calling in or chatting in, typing in some issues or dialoguing with us about what kind of issues you're having. And we also like to encourage you, if you're having any kind of depression, anxiety, or just not feeling good, to reach out to EAP or reach out to your healthcare professionals. And for me to tell you that, because I'm petrified of white, I have that white coat syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like taking pills. I don't like doctors. But I do have to deal with them because I do have anxiety.
Yeah.
And so you guys have a lot of that. Please reach out to a provider. There's nothing wrong with talking to a therapist, somebody that you can trust. And please do that. Reach out. They're there to help you. If you have any issues that's not getting resolved, you make sure you reach out to our union office. If you can't reach me at Ebony by phone.
Or your union
or
steward,
your union steward in your department. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the union office number is 404-521-9043. And I need to call that number before I tell you, because I haven't used that number in so long, to make sure that's the correct number. But you all are welcome. Please, if you have any issues, please call the union office or reach me where I can help you reach the union office. So you can get what you need done immediately. I'm calling it now to make sure that I'm giving you the right number.
And our professionalism topic today was supposed to have been on conduct and behavior. It was going to be really good. I had really did some research. Thanks, Gina.
Well, we can skip.
We're going to do it next week. We're going to do it next week. Because what I'm learning is that a lot of people, a lot of the older generation, younger generation, but this new age that are just getting out of high school, we're getting a lot of people that's fresh out of school, and they just don't know how to behave in a professional environment. But then you have, like I said, older people that don't know how to behave in a professional environment. So middle-aged people don't know how to behave or what's expected, what's not expected. So next week we're going to touch on that, and we'll have the system better. Either we're going to have this one or we'll have it running. It's doing pretty good, so I guess we'll keep it.
Okay, we have another tire that says, great job. Thank you all for making the effort with the new system. Very healthy discussion. And thank you.
Thank you.
And so we're going to close out today.
Yes. I want to see if we can close out without what we're going to intro with. Remember the little thing from
yesterday? Okay, let's see. Okay, that's going to be a good one. Okay, so we're going to say our goodbyes first to see, but then hang on to see if it'll work.
Yeah.
So anyway,
Thank you for joining Podcast Radio Connections with Pace, your host, Gina Pagnotta Murphy, president of Pace,
and your vice president, Ebony Walton, your co-host.
You guys be safe to next week, same time, same station. And good night. Let's see what happens.
We try. Yeah, this is the intro, but we're going to do it as an outro today. So I'm going to try to see how this works. I'm going to share my screen. Screen or video? Screen.
Who are you asking?
I don't know. Window. Let's see. Oh. There you go. Look like some coming up. Oh. What is this? Let's see. We're going to try it. We're gonna get this thing one way or another. We're gonna get it right.
I'm gonna share my screen.
Screen or video?
Screen.
I don't know. I see that lag time. I don't like.
That's the right.
Let's see.
It was doing something.
Look like some coming up. Hopefully they can see it. I'm not sure if they can.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think so. Oh, I don't know if it went through or not. I'm going to go ahead and click. We're done.
Take care. Maybe it'll work the next time.
Let's see. Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a good week.